In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After you've been in the parish a few years, gentlemen, I can assure you that many of you will come to feel as I do, that the two hardest Sundays to preach on are the Sunday following Christmas and the Sunday following Easter, and that not because of whatever text might be assigned. There is such a physical and even psychological letdown after these two major feast days that most of us would just as soon skip these two Sundays and find some city of refuge to go to. Therefore, there must be some purgatorial purpose behind the Dean of Chapel scheduling the communion service at the seminary on this first week of Easter. Maybe he didn't like something I said earlier this year, or the fact that I pointed out that there is no baptismal font the last time I was here, or that there's still no baptismal font this time. This week of Easter, in any case, ought to be one of clear and concise charismatic preaching and of our mystagogical participation in the sacramental life of the Church. Although the current and popular trend in proclamation from the pulpit is to use extended metaphors, similes, and anecdotes, and then to make some sanctified application to our hearers, I consider this the weakest and not the strongest form of preaching. I personally recoil when I hear the word like, that some biblical truth is like this, or how this can be illustrated this way or that way. To understand metaphors and parables requires greater and not lesser knowledge, and is more difficult for the hearers, not easier. Consider the parables of Jesus alone. Even the disciples had a hard time figuring them out, and that not because they weren't good parables. They simply needed them explained. Even though there are great storytellers from the pulpit, and there are some great stories that are spun, we sometimes get lost in the shuffle of how much exactly this relates to the biblical word. But even more to the point today, and of course this week, would be the sharpening of our own categories in preaching. This is not the week to make analogies of the resurrection and of baptism, but rather to assert quite plainly that baptism is a participation and a sharing in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, is no figure of speech, no metaphor. And from here, we ought to go to the bigger picture. The garden earth has given birth to two sons, both named Adam. The first Adam, made and fashioned from the dust and the dirt, became the son of disobedience and hurled humanity headlong into death. The second Adam incorporated this death into himself and by death destroyed death, conquering sin, the devil, and the grave, and sends out now this good word, this wonderful promise of life. And here there is no partiality. This news is for everyone. His tomb became the womb of all the living. And that is exactly what baptism is, a dying and a rising to life. To be born again, a dying with Christ and an entombment of our old nature and of a vivification in his resurrection. Sharing in his death, being incorporated into his suffering, we claim quite rightly a share in his triumph. For us, Easter and this Easter season ought to be a yearly return, a concelebration of our baptismal triumph in Jesus Christ. Even as Cyril of Jerusalem wrote, You made the profession of salvation, and three times you were plunged in the water, and came forth, signifying Christ's burial for 3 days. By this action, you died and were born. And for you, the saving water was at once a grave and the womb of a mother. The Holy Christian Church, who is, of course, the bride for whom the bridegroom sacrificed everything, even his life, is the mother of all Christians, and baptism is her womb, where she bears those who are born, not of the perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For those of us who are dinosaurs and were raised with the old Latin designations of Sundays in the church year, we remember that this coming Sunday had the endearing name of Quasimodo Geniti, which always conjured up images for me of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And here I don't mean Professor Wensey. Quasimodo Geniti means, of course, like newborn babes, coming from the introit of this same Sunday. Like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. The church who bears her children surely offers to her only the pure and wholesome milk of the everlasting gospel. Neophytes who were baptized at the Easter Vigil found in that abiding word more and more to be nurtured upon. And we, who surely are not neophytes, return as well. And today, the church shall feed her children, you. And again, in perhaps the most sacred mystery of all, in that food of immortality, the food of the resurrection, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death and raised for our salvation, who has fashioned and created the church out of his suffering and death, and is her, his one love. Today, after all, I suppose is not a bad day to have preached, but it is even a better day to celebrate and to keep the feast. Amen.